Welcome to episode 18 of International Clearance. We haven't been here for a week and a bit, maybe 2 weeks now. Don't worry about it. Stop paying attention to things like that. If you didn't realise, you didn't hear anything from me. What is important is that we're here for you now, listener. I am Joe Walker, your co-host of this show. Your other co-host is right alongside me on this screen anyway. Scully, welcome.
What's going on? We hope you've missed us. I hope you've missed us at least. Yeah, Joe playing it cool. He's been a bit nonchalant, a little bit aloof. But I hope you've missed us. I hope you've been wondering what's going on. What's the latest news and all the players we love playing abroad, because we like to be that beacon of information, that hub of news.
Yeah, and that's the beauty, because we've been away for a little bit, there's an absolute ton to catch you up on. So without further ado, let's jump into it. The urgent port of call is South Korea, because the season has started over in the K-League, and that means Jesse Lingard is back on a football pitch, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. However, he has played both his games so far from the substitutes bench.
I hope you weren't logging in to watch South Korean K-League kickoff, waiting to see glimpses of Lingard and having to wait 70 minutes.
Yeah, and believe me, I think a lot of people in Korea did that. So his debut, their opening game, they were away at Gwangju, and he came on for the last 15 minutes and they lost 2-0. He did get a booking in those 5-10 minutes.
Okay.
But his home debut, which was a derby, local rivals Incheon v FC Seoul, K-League record of 51,000 people in attendance.
Jeez!
There was a two-hour queue for merchandise outside. They had a special designated Lingard zone, which was just exclusively merch about Jesse Lingard. He was on a bench for that, but he comes on in the 30th minute. So he does still get a good hour, kind of like fluffs his line. He has one big chance that blazes over the bar, but otherwise is, you know, just okay. I think it's just fitness issues, let's be honest. Hasn't played football for a long time. Yes, their season's just started, but he's only been over there like 2-3 weeks, right? So I think it's a slow ease back in. And
yeah, if you haven't played football in maybe 12 months, of course they're going to take their time and let you come up to speed. And let's be honest, if there's a Lingard zone, if there's dedicated Jesse Lingard merchandise that they're selling, you are here to be the poster boy. Like, they know that you are the draw. 51,000 people is a lot of people. More people than can fit in Kenilworth Road, no?
It's more than the City Ground where he was playing last season, you know?
This is it. So you have to be a little bit patient with him. I think a lot of people will be seeing it as like, wow, Jesse Lingard can't even get 90 minutes in K-League. But take time with it. Clearly there is a plan. Clearly they know he is a draw. I hope he enjoys it.
Yeah, I actually respect the management and ownership of FC Seoul for actually accepting that he might not be ready and not forcing it.
Yeah.
You can imagine this situation in many different clubs with marquee signings and then being like, I don't give a rat's backside. You've got to play him. You're starting him every single week. This is non-negotiable. Like, the manager having the balls to do this and not getting fired, it's not a farmer's league. I'm going to say it. It might not be a farmer's league. Might take it more seriously. Let's go to an actual farmer's league then, shall we? Germany. No, I'm only joking.
I'm not joking. I'm here to double down on that. Yeah.
Eric Dier. Do you remember we were talking? I think it might have even been the last time we caught up. We were talking about how German press, it's basically saying Bayern, the top brass at Bayern aren't convinced by Eric Dier. I think he's too slow. They're trying to like and make sure he doesn't sign in the summer.
Yes.
Don't believe everything you read, ladies and gentlemen. Eric Dier's loan has been made permanent at Bayern Munich.
Rumours, allegations.
And he cleared every single one of them.
Love it.
I mean, it's effectively a 1.5-year deal, so he's permanent in a temporary sense because the contract's till the end of next summer. So, look, I'm sure he's delighted to be getting it. He is playing quite regularly. It's hard to not justify, as long as the money wasn't too crazy for Bayern Munich. They've evidently needed him.
It worked for everyone involved, right? Dier has been playing. He's actually been useful. Bayern get to keep Kane because he's not going to run anywhere because his best mate's there. Uh-huh. You get Dier, who's serviceable. We were just talking about we're wondering what the South Korean football level is, but Kim Min-jae has gone to Bayern Munich and has been displaced by Eric Dier, which is insane. Also buy and get a cheap extra centre back, knowing that they're probably going to let one go. It won't be Kim, but they're going to let someone go this season. Most likely Kimmich. Alphonso Davies is going. There's a lot of positives to this move, even though it seems weird to
Yeah.
us.
And it's temporary
Eric
enough.
Dier gets a title.
Maybe next year, yeah. It's temporary enough that if there is, well, the next Bayern Munich manager comes in and doesn't fancy him, there's not this like millstone of a contract. You know, the sort of contracts that Premier League clubs and I would say Barcelona are very prone to, where they're just stuck with
Yeah.
high earners for a long time that they don't want. But Kane, I mean, remarkable. First Champions League knockout goals in 5 years, two in that win over Lazio. He then, on the weekend after, scored three. They beat Mainz 8-1. Kane also hit the post in that game. I've been very careful not to call this a hat trick, because I don't know if you know, Scully, Germany has a very specific definition of what a hat trick is. Do you know what that is?
I do not.
So in Germany, it's only a hat trick if you score three goals in the same half uninterrupted. So as in, like, other people can't score in between.
There's that trademark German efficiency we hear of all the
Yes.
time.
So in theory, it's, in a British definition, it's Kane's fourth hat trick in the league this season. But I think it might just be his fourth treble of the season as
That's
far as
so funny.
Germany look at things.
That's so strict that it has to be uninterrupted. I mean,
I guess they may get, they have, if you're a league that has regular 8-1s and stuff like that, maybe they do have to tighten the definition a little bit. There's too many hat trick balls to be given out.
yeah, they couldn't keep track of all the match balls.
Yeah, at the time of recording, in the league, Kane has 30 goals in 25 games. The record is 41. He has 9 games to go, assuming he plays in all of those. Is he going to do it, Scully?
I think he can easily do it. I think he'll hit 40. And I think he'll do it by one. I think he'll hit 42. 12 goals in 9 games is a very Harry Kane Bundesliga stat.
Yeah.
There'll be one game where he gets three, and in the rest, he'll just bank a nice one, sometimes two. He's going to get another treble, won't he?
Yeah. Do you remember that time at Tottenham when he was claiming goals that weren't his and stuff like that? I think you're going to start wrestling the ball off people for penalties and stuff, and we'll be cheering him on in that case. His title rivals, Leverkusen, they're now sort of still 10 points clear after a league win against Wolfsburg. And I'm only mentioning that because Nathan Teller scored the opening goal. Having a great time. He's even been recalled back to the Nigeria squad for the next couple of friendlies. So, you know, we spoke about that being a mistake they might live to regret. I don't think it's a mistake they're going to make again. So
I
happy for
mean,
him.
no, everyone. I don't think it was a mistake. Everyone has to be fair. Boniface does play for the same team, was in great form, and you had Osimhen. Let's be honest, he was the third choice at best in that selection.
Yeah.
But, you know, things happened, so big him
Yeah.
up.
Yeah. It ain't been perfect though. He got hooked at half time in their Europa League draw at Karabag. I don't know if you saw that game. They were 2-0 down at half time to Karabag, top of the Azerbaijan League. But Leverkusen drew 2-2. I think they got a last minute equaliser to take it back the second leg, which I'm sure, I assume they'll handle from there. But Dortmund are in the Champions League, however. And, you know, we spoke about how quiet it had been for him on the last episode, but Jadon Sancho, a goal in the league win over Werder Bremen, his first since returning to the club. And then this week, he scored in their win over PSV in the Champions League, which helped get them to the quarterfinals. So I
Back
think,
to back goals.
yeah, I think the beast has awoken. Gabe, do you see
I
that?
watched the Dortmund PSV game. He's been having fun.
Yeah, he was
He's been
moving mad.
having fun. He looks like he's back in the midfield and even in his own third, taking the absolute mickey out of players, which is what we want to see Jadon Sancho do.
Yeah, it's taken what, 6 weeks, maybe a month and a bit, but he's actually back to being the sort of most eye-catching player on the pitch again, which is the level I think is expected for him to have by the end of this spell, or wherever he ends up in the summer, if it is Dortmund or it's back at Manchester United or somewhere else. The fact that he's showing that level again is. It's good for not just him, but I think for football, English football as well, and this pod. Let's leave Germany. Spain, a Jude Bellingham update. He's got up to so much. For someone that, when we last spoke, he was injured And we were like, oh, he's going to be away for a couple of weeks. First of all, comeback appearance against Valencia, get sent off. I think the ref blew while Real Madrid were on attack in injury time. And Jude Bellingham scores just after that final whistle. And everyone loses the plot. Real Madrid have gone crazy. Jude Bellingham is querying the refereeing decision, let's say that, and gets a straight red. Suspended for 2 games, but all kinds of protest. Real Madrid are talking about going to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which I don't think I've ever seen for a red card decision. That's normally the sort of thing you get on like managers getting unfair dismissals and stuff like that. It's like the highest court of law in sport, really. It's like, obviously, it's not unlike a club like Real Madrid to be in melodramatics, and but it shows you the furor that it caused. One of the games he was suspended, which was on Mother's Day, I remember that because he brought his mum with him. Watching, they played Celta. There was a big banner that Real Madrid fans saying, "Hey Jude, our fan base is with you," in Spanish. So like, it was deemed worthy enough for that. Like, it was a real like conversation and issue in Spain. He, despite being suspended in a league, did play in the Champions League. They drew 1-1 with Leipzig in the Champions League, which they'd won the first leg 1-0. So it was enough to go through on aggregate. Bellingham suspended for another league game, whether there is an appeal or not. I don't think it's too late now. Yeah, and he'll be back the sort of next weekend. Let's jump to Ajax. Their league game against Utrecht. Ajax posted a clip after the game.
Oh, I saw this clip. This clip sent the internet a lot. Ajax have quoted the or posted this clip. It says mentality 100. You're expecting to see, someone fighting for the ball, maybe putting in some heavy challenges, all of this. What you are greeted with is the ball spinning off, I think, from a challenge down the pitch, Jordan Henderson chasing it the entire way until it actually goes off for a goal kick, but he chases it and then he goes to the fans and gets them to cheer and then runs back to his off.
I think, yeah, it's like it gets as far as like charging it down to the keeper or something and blocking the keeper's like clearance, and it goes out. For it's just like I'm fascinated by it because it's great dog's work. Like it's like for a man of his age and his industry, like it's really good defensive work and passion spelled PSHUN, that kind of stuff. It is just like, is this what Ajax have become? Like, is this the higher mark of the game for you now? Because your team is just so demonstrably bad now.
They said somebody quoted it and said Ajax are celebrating Jordan Henderson running like a donkey in the home of Johan Cruyff. Football is in a bad place.
How far we gone,
And
Phil?
I don't think I'm one of those football fell off people. I don't think football has fallen off. I think it's just changed. But Ajax, that is appalling for me. Like, please. I know that you want your players to run for the badge and to fight for the badge, but like, this is not what we have to be celebrating.
Yeah, it's a real change of priorities and things to find joy in for that team, for what they're probably used to celebrating and enjoying. Again, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. What he did, it was just like, oh, this would not be a thing that would be clipped and posted officially by Ajax in pretty much any other season in their history. But it is a mark of where they are, fifth in the league, 6 points off Europa League spot. We've mentioned that they made a load of signings with like the Antony money, the Martinez money, under the sort of watch, the eye of Sven Mislintat, a former Arsenal guy who's their director of football, I think, or certainly someone involved upstairs at Ajax. There have been reports in the last few days that nine of his summer signings are already available to be sold, with that it's just gone that bad, the complete operation. And we could talk all day for that. We're not. What we are going to focus on is that one of those nine players is Chuba Akpom.
I just want the best for Akpom because he had a great season in the championship. I hope somebody from the championship recognizes the work he put in. I think he would absolutely have done a job at a lower table team. Yeah, I think the Sven stain is on him.
Yeah. He's also, look, we said, what does he need to do if he's not starting, or if he is starting, he needs to score. So he played 90 minutes in their league game against Fortuna Sittard, no goal. Jordan Henderson assists in that game. That the guy that's been keeping Akpom out of the team, Brian Brobbey, he gets a late equaliser. I think he comes on and gets a late equaliser. Like when the going's tough, Chuba, you got that's stuff like that stinks. The only kind of positive I can find from him recently, they drew with Aston Villa in the Conference League, which pretty good result really, given where they are. And Chuba Akpom is fouled for Villa's red card. Like that's where I am trying to find positives for Chuba Akpom. It's looking like, you know, if the club aren't that bothered about whether he stays or not, I don't know if it's a good idea that he should be trying to hang around much longer.
By no means does it make him a bad player, but it does put him in a very difficult position. I want to circle back to Jordan Henderson really, really quickly. Because he actually had one of the funniest interviews I've seen in my life. He was asked if he played the worst game of his life in the Europa League when they played Villa.
Oh, right.
By the journalist. Yeah, I'll try and find it and share it with you. But
well,
it was...
Dutch journalist.
Yes, because you know they're known for being really like...
Yeah.
Just blunt and honest. Yeah, and they're like, well, was that the worst game you played? But not ever, but for Ajax. So right, since you've been here and like all of this. And he's quite visually rattled.
Right.
He's obviously not used to the Dutch turn of phrase and that kind of brutal honesty.
Yeah.
And he kind of alludes to like, well, we were cool off camera and I'm trying to come on and you're asking me all of these like harsh questions and the journalist just persists, which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that part of Dutch living, he's really going to struggle with.
Yeah. You hear that, Jeff Shreves? You're not there to be their friends. You got to cut them open. Italy. We'll start in Milan because they played in Europa League. Loftus-Cheek scored. They beat Slavia Prague. Big aggregate score. They're progressing into the quarterfinals. Also, for Kaio Tomori, who's been very quiet on the updates when we have gone over to Milan. He's injured for quite a while and he's been brought back progressively. A couple of sub appearances, including that game, that European game. Mm-hmm. And then he started last weekend against Empoli and played an hour. So it's very gradual, but he's back in. I do think it will be too late for any kind of broader Euros consideration. But
I want to see if Milan, like, how much have you really missed him?
Yeah. Let's jump to Atalanta. They drew 1-1 with Sporting in the Europa League. First leg of their round of 16 game. Lookman plays the full game. Marcus Edwards plays the full game for Sporting. Lookman, also in the league, comes off the bench in a 2-2 draw at Juventus. Atalanta are in sixth place, but they're only 4 points behind in the Champions League spot. Bologna, who we keep bringing up because they are having the season of their lives. They had six straight wins in Serie A and then just lost to Inter, who are like 15 points clear. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like that, there's no shame in that when you're Bologna.
Inter walking the league.
The game against Atalanta that they played in, Lookman scored for Atalanta, but Lewis Ferguson, here he is, Bologna captain, Scottish international, scored the winner. He's now got six goals so far this season. And it's not going unnoticed because Sky Italy are reporting that Juventus and Napoli are both considering Lewis Ferguson in the summer. Give me that. give me that. Give me a Scotsman in the Juventus midfield. Yes.
I would like to see it. I'm not going to lie.
Big time. This is the stuff this was made for. Scottish players in Italy, there's not going to have been too many. Certainly not at Juventus. Like, it's absolutely mad.
Let's have a look.
I can see Billy Aitken play for Juventus in 1930, and he joined from Biddeford AFC, which is even more crazy. Different time.
Joe Jordan at AC Milan in the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, who can forget Souness at Sampdoria? that is.
Oh my gosh.
Roma actually have quite a rich Scottish history. They had Joe Jordan as well. And no, they had Henderson.
Who's it? Yeah. They just sold somebody.
Josh Doig was, yes.
Oh, yeah, Dennis Law play for Torino as well.
Legend.
But like in terms of modern examples, this would be, even if it's Napoli, it's still like, that is a crazy club to pay for.
I love it.
It's pure speculation at this point, but I just thought it was worth a mention because we love it. We would absolutely love it. Speaking of Juventus, there's a player, an English under 21 player there right now, Samuel Illing Jr. We don't really speak about him that much. He played in Atalanta's 2-2 draw of Juventus that we mentioned a few minutes back. He played most of that game. 18 appearances for Juve this season. But I've seen, again, more transfer talk. He's out of contract next summer. And Juve are like looking. There's a suggestion that they're going to try and cash in rather than let him go on a free. And again, because he's abroad, he could start negotiating as early as sort of Christmas, January, and move to like back to England on a free, for example. Brighton, West Ham, Southampton were linked. There's a suggestion that Juve would want about 15 million euros for him in the summer. He hasn't tore it up there,
How do they,
but he's
how do
playing.
they command these fees?
I think there's definitely a English football tax there. And he's an under 21, I suppose, and he's playing
He
more than
does
a handful of
play.
games for Juventus. He's actually playing. Just because he's not,
He does play.
we're getting drunk on that kind of, we spoke about Sancho being eye-catching, and that's really the level players have to be going abroad. Illing Jr. being a regular for Juventus is like, I think most people are, that's dream stuff. Just because he's not the first choice, and he's not like tearing it up to bits. He's a young player at one of the biggest clubs in the world, and he's just
Well,
ticking along quite nicely.
you're 20 years old. You're about to get 30 appearances for Juventus in 2 years, coming from Islington.
You're doing all right. It's not bad.
Let me put it like this: you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it.
And we were speaking in a totally different way about like an Akpom at Ajax, but the age difference factors in here massively. That this is still Illing Jr. is still in a developmental stage, whereas an Akpom's 28. Being on the fringe is still very much acceptable because you're learning off Vlahovic, Chiesa, Milik at Juventus. Like that's absolutely fine. There's no disgrace there. You're 20 years old, and that's who you're learning off. It's not just your competition. That's who you're training with every week. Like, very interesting. If he decides to come back, I hope it's at a high level as possible when you
Let me
play.
ask you quickly before we move on, what would you do in his position?
It would depend how much I love the lifestyle. If I'm happy in Italy, if I've got a partner there, I might be more tempted to stay out there. I'm sure there are teams in Italy seeing him play regularly that would fancy a bit of that. He might also miss home.
It's a young age to be away.
And the beautiful thing about the English Football League system and the Premier League is that the cash does flow. It's a nice place to be homesick from. It's a nice trust fall when you fall back. Like
Very true.
someone will catch you and you'll get a pay rise. So he's going to be all right, I think. I could totally understand if he sees that and goes, I've proved my point. I've had a good time out here. Someone might be willing to pay 10, 15 million euros for me, and I'll probably start if that's the case. So thank you very much. It's been a lot of European games. I know we dedicated an entire episode to it not long ago. I try to fly through some of these because it's a lot.
Quick
So,
fire, Joe. Let's go.
Champions League, Real Sociedad are out. They lost 2-1 at home to PSG, lost quite heavily on aggregate. Kieran Tierney was on the bench, which shouldn't normally be an update, but he's been injured and he's been out for a while. So that's promising. So in terms of actual like international clearance contingent in the Champions League latter stages now, you've got Kane, you've got Eric Dier, Jadon Sancho. That
It is
might
literally that. That's it.
it
That's a
might be
lot.
it because Porto lost on penalties
Oh,
to Arsenal.
Bellingham. You got
And Jude
Bellingham.
Bellingham, of course, yes. Scott McKenna, FC Copenhagen are out, lost to Man City. We knew that. Europa League, so Marseille through, Emre Ansoglu, the sort of teenage wing back, comes on again towards the end. Very interesting that almost every single game he is getting 5 minutes, 10 minutes, which for an 18, 19-year-old at that level is excellent. And then Conference League, few things to talk about here. Sturm Graz 0, Lille 3. Mika Bjerit, who we've spoken a lot about, has been scoring a few league goals again. He plays the 90 minutes for Sturm Graz. Max Johnston comes on, but Lille are just a different level. And I don't mean that's a surprise, Lille beating Sturm Graz 3-0 away from home. Angel Gomez gets an assist for Lille, so everyone's a winner. What's they say on Always Sunny? I like playing both sides. That way, I always come out on top. And so that game was perfect for us. Molde 2, Club Brugge won, which I would consider an upset. Molde, the Norwegian side,
That is an upset. That is an upset.
being quite a sort of a proper Club Brugge, like a Champions League Belgian club, a regular qualifier for the Champions League.
Yeah, definitely.
Joseph Bersic is from Lambeth, South London.
Okay.
He is 23, and he was on the bench for Club Brugge. I just didn't know this. So he used to play for Stoke and was a under 21 international for England. I think he came through AFC Wimbledon's academy and then got a move to Stoke. I think that's what it was.
Wow.
Hence being from Lambeth. But yeah, got a move to Club Brugge. I think he had a bad injury this season, which might have affected his opportunities because I don't think he's played for them yet. But he's on the bench. Like
That's
it all
interesting.
counts.
I'm watching him closely because 23 is very young for a keeper.
Yeah.
So it means his journey is really just starting out.
Yeah. So yeah, you've got him in the Conference League latter stages. I think it's the quarterfinals. Angel Gomez on the quarterfinals for Lille. Also, this is an honorary mention just because it was so mad to me. This was a discovery. Olympiakos won Maccabi Tel Aviv 4, which on its own is actually a huge result. Like the technicality I'm building it up for is that it was entirely ref by English officials. Craig Pawson was the referee.
God.
The real reason I bring it up, it's not because Omar Richards was an unused sub for Olympiakos, which we could, again, a technicality that would allow it. Robbie Keane is the manager of Maccabi Tel Aviv. I know he's not British. I just thought that was worth mentioning because I completely missed that, or I forgot it ever happened.
You tell me Robbie Keane is that guy?
Oh, they are top of the league. So, man, maybe Robbie Keane is that guy.
When did this even happen?
He was appointed this summer.
Okay, so he's led them to the top of the league.
Yeah. And he's done it with mostly local players. Like I'm looking at the team and he hasn't like brought in a wave of like familiar faces. Quietly going on with that's very impressive. And going away from home to Olympiakos and smacking them is quite something. I guess Keane gets it off the credentials of his coaching. Like was Ireland assistant a couple of times, assistant for Borough under Woodgate, was a coach at Leeds when Allardyce was there in that brief spell. But yeah, very, very interesting. Rory Delap is his assistant there as well. He of the
That
legendary Stoke throw.
is very interesting. That long throw used to give me nightmares. 85 minutes and Rory Delap is winding up a throw into your box. Yeah, be scared.
Just it's amazing when you actually dig up certain names and go, what are they up to? Well, some of them are managing Maccabi Tel Aviv or working on the coaching staff. Lastly, from the Conference League, Union SG, Neil Fenerbahce 3, more minutes for Christian Burgess and Ross Sykes for the home side. Fenerbahce, Bright Osei Samuel plays, former QPR man, and Ryan Kent comes on for the last 20 in that game too. Ross Sykes, he's just had like a couple of really good moments. He scored 2 in 2 for Union SG very recently, one of which was assisted by Burgess. So they're two English defenders combined for a goal. The one of them was the winner in the semi-final of the Belgian Cup. So Union SG, not only are they top of the league in Belgium right now, on course for their first title in like decades, they also look like they might win the Belgian Cup. More again, more English representation, more British representation in the latter stages of Europe. That's what it's all about.
Union SG, that's Tony Bloom's 40% owned team, right? He had to let go of control and
Yes.
stake. He had to let go of control and stake because Brighton
Yes.
qualified for Europe.
Yeah. The corruption would not be unchecked in theory. Right, we've spoken a lot about latter stages of European competition there.
Let's go
And
across the pond.
yes, because at this time of year, there are a lot of seasons starting around the world. We mentioned Jesse Lingard in Korea, but we're 3 games into the MLS season. And I think that's notable, not just because there's an absolute ton of Brits playing over there, too many to name. I've actually got put the list in front of me and Scully. We're not going to go through them all. It's obscene. But MLS is split into two. It's the East and West leagues,
Yeah.
and then it kind of combined for playoff systems later.
All very NBA-ish.
Yeah. And just helps with travel. I remember that was a big thing with Steven Gerrard went to LA Galaxy. One of his first complaints when people asked how he was getting on, he was like, I just cannot believe how far away everything is. even in the regional thing. It was like, we're so lucky in Europe. But yeah, as you can imagine, Eastern Conference into Miami, top of their league already. But don't count out their former manager, Phil Neville. They said he was holding them back. They said he was preventing Messi from going there. Messi didn't want to play under Phil Neville. He should have thought twice, because Phil Neville and his new club, Portland Timbers, are top of the Western Conference. I smell a narrative, Scully. I smell a playoff final between Inter
It's
Miami
gonna
and
happen,
Portland
isn't it?
Timbers. Oh, it'd
It's
be
gonna
so good.
happen, isn't it?
It's early days, and I thought, well, quite intriguing. I didn't see Harvey Neville's name in the Portland Timbers squad. We said he went there for a trial. I don't know if he's actually got that one over the line, but Phil Neville nonetheless presses on. Portland Timbers that celebrate goals by firing up a chainsaw and cutting timber on a touchline.
That is awful, but well, that
Timber Joey is the guy that cuts the wood after a Portland Timbers goal, by the way.
itself
I think it might have ended that tradition, because a lot of the links to it are very old. But it was, I just want to point that out. Long time trackers of players, English players abroad especially,
awful.
will remember Liam Ridgewell. He of Aston Villa Birmingham went to Portland Timbers and was there for 5 years. He is Phil Neville's assistant, which is just a lovely old job. Quick rundown, some other British managers in MLS this season, certainly starting it. Dean Smith at Charlotte. We said that, I think, when he got appointed, former Brentford Villa coach. Ashley Westwood, ex-Burnley, is his captain. He's also got Nathan Byrne in his team, ex-Derby and Wigan. Interesting to see how that develops. Elsewhere, you've got Eric Ramsey, who used to be a coach at Man United, former Wales assistant manager. He's only 31, 32 years old. His first managerial job is at Minnesota United. He's taken charge of them this season. No, no other Brits in that squad, but their roster does include one Teemu Pukki, which I thought was interesting. I wonder what it's like to play for a manager that's younger than you, and like considerably. Yeah, I wonder how that works out. Nothing to say you can't learn from people younger than you. We all do every day, but that's, yeah, interesting in football sense. Other MLS managers that are British, Nashville have got Gary Smith in charge. He's from Essex, 55. He managed Stevenage in a season 11 years ago, but otherwise has been entirely managing in the US. It's his second spell at Nashville. He's got former England and Leicester winger Steve Guppy on the coaching staff. Some people, listeners, might remember him. He had a crazy left foot shot. In his team, he's got Sam Surridge, formerly from Forest, and then Drew Yearwood, who is formerly of Southend Brentford and then New York Red Bulls. And then finally, this is probably the least surprising one, even if it's a name you don't know. New York City FC have Nick Cushin, an English manager. He's 39, he's been there for a couple of years, was the head coach of Manchester City women's team. Won a few more than a few trophies with them. He won the WSL with them in 2016. But now he's kind of slowly working his way up the City Group, and he's found his way to New York City FC, formerly of, I think, who else has managed there? Patrick Vieira managed there, for example. It's very much a group that promotes from within if they believe in you and you get opportunities. And that is quite an interesting job. He's got a.
I was gonna say they might be grooming him for the big job.
Hey, yeah. You got a dream, haven't you? I mean, you might end up at Girona, you know? Do you know?
it's not a bad place to go.
Do you know what I'm saying? Who else they got? They got Melbourne City. There's so many jobs there. And New York City is not a bad life, is it? They also have a 17-year-old from Basildon, Essex, in their team called Chris McFarlane.
Chris
And
McFarlane is the most American sounding English name ever.
yeah, 100%. It wouldn't shock me if maybe he's got American family. That's why he's over there. Because there are others. There's a guy, Noel Buck, New England Revolution, born and raised in the US to British parents, though, and has English England under 19 caps. I think that's fascinating. England deem him worthwhile calling up to the under 19 squad, which is, I think that's a massive praise and a massive endorsement of the belief and respect of MLS development. And if you're young, they're basically saying, if you're a young player over there, that's worthy of our attention, which I find very interesting. There's also a guy called Calvin Harris in MLS at Colorado Rapids. I love this. Born in Middlesbrough, moved to Hong Kong, as in his teens, was a reserve player for Wellington Phoenix in New Zealand, which is not too far from Hong Kong, but it's pretty far from Hong Kong. And then gets a college move to the US and then finds his way at Colorado Rapids. It's like, that's a well-traveled man.
Really seeing the world with his football. I really like that.
Yeah, which is kind of what we want and encourage people to do. And then finally, there's one other MLS manager we didn't mention, John Herdman. He is from County Durham. He was the manager of the Canada women's team and did very well with the Canadian women's side. He then, off the strength of that, got the men's job for the national team and was their manager at the Qatar World Cup, which they did okay in. I think they played okay in it, but they were quite limited for the
Yeah,
level.
I feel like they had a difficult group, and
Yes.
I feel like a lot of their like be all and end all was Alphonso Davies' free roll.
Yeah.
So that is,
Yeah.
yeah.
So he got to the final of the Nations League, the CONCACAF Nations League with Canada. They lost to USA in the final, and he was quite loud about the lack of resources in the Canadian FA. I don't know if you remember, Scully, there was a whole story about how they might go bankrupt and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they're really like not an organization that's all together. He then left shortly after that, I guess, looked to assess the situation and was like, probably not going to get any better than this. I can't wait another few years for the next World Cup, even though it is on Canadian soil. Would be crazy. So he has signed for the biggest MLS club in Canada, certainly one of them, if not the biggest, in Toronto FC.
I was actually looking up Toronto FC this week, funnily enough, because of their new player, Matty
Oh,
Longstaff.
yeah. Brother of Sean. Hadn't had a club all year, like got released in the summer.
The reason why I was looking him up, obviously Chelsea and Newcastle played this week. I think Sean got a goal. And
Right.
I remember there was a period in English football when they would wheel out the Longstaff brothers just to terrorize Manchester United.
Yeah, you're right, because it's Matty that scored against Man United.
Man United on his debut, and he was like 17 years old,
Amazing.
and there was a lot of hope for him. So when Sean scored this week, I was like, I wonder where Matty is, because I do this annually. I search
Yeah,
Matty
yeah.
Longstaff to see if he's on. So I knew last year that he was on a contract at Newcastle with like kind of returning from injury. They're looking out for him. I think injuries have plagued him a bit. He hasn't been able to get his way back into the first team. Finally let him go. I see that he's going over to Toronto. I'm interested to see how he gets on,
Yeah.
because it was 5 years ago, but you've got all this talent that worked in the Prem. Matty Longstaff is 23 years old, by the way.
Yeah.
He can do so much in his career today. I'm interested to see if this kickstarts a sort of resurgence and what he does after this.
Yeah. Again, though, it's like another big endorsement of MLS that you can convince players, come here, it's way more fun than you dropping down to low half of the championship or League One if you're struggling. We can probably match your money that you were on previously, or certainly get near it, and your quality of life is going to be excellent. So that is the long goal, I guess. Some of the teams I've mentioned, like Nashville, I spoke about Sam Surridge, he's 25. That guy's left a Premier League side to go there at 25. There's so many factors there that I think actually the sell, the big sell that MLS clubs have is probably really strong for like quality of life. And the standard is nowhere near as bad as it once was. And although I did
It's
see,
definitely growing. It's definitely growing
yeah,
massively.
we've got a bunch of stuff international football lose. I tell you what, we're going to leave it till next week, because the international break is approaching, and actually, we've hopefully got some interesting guests lined up for, from international football in the next couple of weeks. I leave you on a sad story, a really sad story, one brought to my attention by Cam on English Players Abroad. Jason Puncheon's been sacked already, Scully. The rain, if you call it a rain, at Zakakou in Cyprus
It
ended.
was a bit more of a shower.
Yes. Two draws, five defeats in seven games, no wins. So he's been let go from that job, and they remain.
We call that the Frank DeBoer special.
Yeah, I mean, he got two draws, so Frank de Boer wishes. But they weren't having a good season anyway. But it doesn't look like he could arrest that slide. And I'll be curious to hear his side of that story.
I'll
But
be curious to see if he continues down management.
well, yeah, because what he's had two jobs in Cyprus, one that was kind of moderately successful, and then gets the this job off the strength of that. But hopefully he keeps the spirit to try some more.
This is the thing. He's a cult hero, and we
Yeah.
like him. We love him. In fact, everyone loves Jason Puncheon. I can't endorse him as a manager till I watch a few of his games. I wasn't watching the Zakia. Sorry if I butchered the pronunciation.
Yeah.
I wasn't staying up late or even watching them in normal hours. But if management is something he wants to continue to do, I hope he actually gets a chance. He's the type of person who I could actually see flourishing in a like under 16 role, somewhere in South London for a little bit and
Yeah,
working his way up from there.
that there will be. It would not shock me if there was jobs offered to him at Palace a bit further down the thing, but the prospect of senior management, the being the man in charge, hard not to resist. And yeah, be interested to see if that CV produces any more opportunities for him. And there's all sorts of circumstances that lead to jobs not happening and working. It wasn't smelling of roses when he arrived either. So hopefully he doesn't lose the fire. Hopefully he tries it some more, and hopefully we're here to tell you all about it because it's somewhere else abroad and fun. And because that's what this is all about, and it's Gully, it's about the call to adventure, doing something out of the box, enjoying just something that makes us smile, being like, why have you gone there? Like, what's happening over there? That's what this podcast is all about.
If you've enjoyed that pod, you can reach out to us at intlclearance@gmail.com. That's intlclearance@gmail.com. intlclearance on Twitter and on TikTok and on Instagram. Come and find us. If you have a friend or you're a fan of a player who has played abroad, you think there's somebody who we need to be speaking to on this podcast, if you think
Or even
their
about.
story, even just about, if you think their story needs to be told, reach out to us, bring it to our attention, and we will do our best to bring them onto the show.
We've got plenty of questions for a lot of people, a couple of really exciting guests lined up, but that's all to come in the future. Join us on the international break for some very quality international clearance updates about the international football scene and who's showing up places. Who's declaring for countries of their family? All very, very exciting. It's all what we're all about. But yeah, that's all to come next week. So for now, I've been Joe Walker.
I've been Scully.
And we'll see you next week. We promise, next week. Honest, next week.